This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
12:35 here in the studio. This is Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury.
I'm Vinny Viraj.
So the question that we're asking you today is, what is your default internet browser and why? This is because of the story recently. Microsoft have finally announced yet again that they are killing off eventually, shortly, in a year's time, Internet Explorer. Sometime in the middle of August next year, it will be finally laid to rest after 25 or so years. And we asked for some feedback, and surprisingly, we are awash with feedback. Let's give a few of these.
Yeah, so on Twitter, there's Lian Jim who says Chrome, but Chrome has gone too bulky and memory hoarding compared to the early days. Honestly, Microsoft's latest browser, Edge, is really good and fast. Dilip says my default is Chrome, but I use Opera sometimes. Vanko says Edge for work, company default, Safari on iOS products, Chrome for everything else. And Naishan says Edge. We also have a couple of WhatsApps. So this comes from Hilmi, who says Chrome. Numbers 1514 says always Chrome, seems stable and fast and easy to use. IE as a Windows product, always slow and crashes. We have one from number 0812 who says modified version of Firefox for secure browsing, Chrome for YouTube. And finally, Rose says, I'll be honest with you chaps, wasn't long ago that I had to Google browser versus search engine to know the difference. I've just gone to Apple from PC, and like Brave, tried a few. Opera wasn't bad, still miss Netscape Navigator and that cool lighthouse icon.
I know what age bracket Ro is in now. I live in that same age bracket, Ro. Very quickly, from what Rose just said there as well, somebody mentioned here on Instagram, somebody felt that TGYA photo. Anyway, they say Firefox, more stable recently. Honorable mention to DuckDuckGo for privacy. Now, we were saying we thought DuckDuckGo was just a search engine.
Yeah.
But it turns out there is actually a browser
There's a browser. So Justin Y on Twitter said the same thing. It says DuckDuckGo, privacy, no ads. And I didn't know that DuckDuckGo had an inbuilt browser. So you can add an extension to Chrome. Or you can get its browser for Android, and you can get it from the Apple store. So it is a browser that has, like you said, a sort of search engine baked in.
Well, the more that you know.
Yeah.
Right. Next story. This college student, his name is Liam Poor, and he used AI to create a fake blog that can generate news under a fake name. He initially created it as a fun experiment, but one of his posts reached the number one spot on Hacker News, which is a website that talks about all things security, AI, and how to protect yourself on the internet. So he used an algorithm called GPT-3, one of the most powerful language generating AI, that has the potential to be used in the content creation field. So when asked about using this algorithm and about the blog, he said it was super easy, actually, which was the scary part. So if you don't already know, GPT-3 was created from Elon Musk's OpenAI company initially. OpenAI pulled back the release of GPT-2, a previous version of the algorithm, stating that they are worried that it might be abused. However, after some backlash, they released GPT-2, saying there has been no evidence of misuse so far. Eventually, they updated the algorithm and released GPT-3, which was only open to people who registered for a private beta. Now, this guy is a computer science student at the University of California, and he requested for that private beta. He eventually found a PhD student in the university who already had access to the algorithm. And after typing out a small script for the algorithm, a bit of a headline, and an introduction for the blog, the algorithm started kicking in. And he said, from the time that I thought of the idea, got in contact with the student, to me creating the blog and the first blog going viral, it took maybe just a couple of hours. Now, there were some limitations for GPT-3. For one, it was not very good at being logical and rational. So he picked a topic that doesn't require much logic. I'm sorry to our self-help gurus over there. Productivity and self-help. The first headline that he wrote was, quote, "Feeling unproductive, maybe you should stop overthinking." And that achieved the number one spot on the Hacker News website. He did this to prove that this algorithm could fool people into thinking it's a real writer. While the article was on Hacker News, only three or four people commented that an AI might have written the story. The rest actually believe that the post was written by a human being. Now, since the release of GPT-2, people worry that the algorithm could be used to create fake news. Others fear that it could produce spam posts that would affect how Google's keyword algorithm acts. And he said it's possible that there's going to be just a flood of mediocre blog content, because now the barrier to entry is so easy. He thinks the value of online content is going to be reduced a lot. And he also goes on to add that he wants to experiment more with GPT-3, but he's worried he might not get the beta access after running this experiment. Mm-hmm. Now, we've spoken about deep fakes, and we've spoken about how voices can be manipulated, and now we're looking at algorithms that can write blog posts and one thing or another.
Yeah.
So I went and had a look at this blog post, and I read through it. I'll just read the first couple of paragraphs. And don't forget, this is entirely written by AI. So the first paragraph reads like this. In order to get something done, maybe we need to think less. Seems counterintuitive, but I believe sometimes our thoughts can get in the way of the creative process. We can work better at times when we tune out the external world and focus on what's in front of us. I've been thinking about this lately, so I thought it would be good to write an article about it. So what exactly does this mean? Well, for starters, let's start with some definitions. Definition number one, creative thinking is the act of using your mind to come up with ideas that are not already present in reality or that have never existed before. It's a form of mental activity that involves the use of logic and reason. Definition number two, overthinking is the act of trying to come up with ideas that have already been thought through by somebody else. Overthinking usually results in ideas that are impractical, impossible, or even stupid. Now, how do these two concepts relate to each other? Well, if you're like me, then you probably find yourself doing both at sometimes. You might be working on a project all day long, but you still feel as though you're just going through the motions. This is because you're thinking too much. That was written by AI, entirely by AI.
So you wouldn't know. I mean, if I didn't know, I wouldn't know. I just think that this is another blog post.
And perhaps not by somebody, you know, who's super famous or whatever. But I would imagine that there would be some people who, if they had picked that up on LinkedIn or if they had picked it up on Facebook or whatever, would never have guessed that was written by AI.
By a computer,
basically. Yeah.
How did the people who found out that it was done by an AI find out that it was done by an AI?
Because they just suspected. And I think a lot of it is to do with the syntax and the grammar and the way in which some words are presented. If you read through the whole article, it's only a couple of pages long.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of a giveaway, but not much. But like you say, it's only if you're looking really, really close that you would spot that this could have been written by, you know, something other than a human being.
Because it doesn't sound like jargon.
No.
It doesn't sound like it's been messed up or scrambled or anything. You'd think that it is, even the stuff with the syntax and stuff, you might think it's just grammar or the guy made a mistake or like typo. You wouldn't immediately go AI because it sounds very human. Like you said, it does sound like someone put it together, which is both scary and incredible at the same time.
And some of the quotes below it is like, you know, it reads exactly like 99% of the stuff you find on Hacker News and Medium. Well done. And that's the thing. It's so convincing, you know. And so now there's people out there who are struggling to create written content.
Yeah, yeah.
If they were to get their hands on this, and like the guy says, you know, you could manipulate the Google search engine to get this pushed up somewhere using whatever. Mm. And, you know, AdSense kicks in and one thing or another. I don't know.
It's complete automation.
This is some scary stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But very smart.
Very, very smart.
Kudos to this fella. Let's take a break. The question again, which browser is your default and why? Let us know. Get us via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Twitter or Instagram, we are at BFM Radio. We'll be back in just a few moments after CCR with Bad Moon Rising here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.